Sat San with Maitreya, October 13th, 2001.
Good morning, everybody. This is Maitreya from the Mission Maitreya. Welcoming everybody to our room today. And this is our church. We appreciate your respect for it. Just imagine you're going to another church, another synagogue, or the mosque, or the temple, and treat the room as you are in one of those places. We appreciate if you have a question, please raise your hand. The topic is the mission of Maitreya, as we explained before. We know about our religions of the world. We have studied them, come to the conclusion that this revelation unifies all of them. And we ask, please don't preach on us. You are welcome to ask any question about the mission. Relate your faith to the mission and ask, you know, how this relates. This is a call to unification, all men and women and children of the world together. It is the revelation that God has promised to humanity and will come to them. And now it's here for everyone to read, to study, to test the spirit and come to the conclusion that if it is from God or it's not. If you conclude it's from God, then take it, love it, understand it, study it, and tell everybody else that the last revelation of God has come to humanity, and let humanity come together and bring the peace and unity and the kingdom on earth. The mission of Maitreya based in the greatest sign that if you go to our first page in our website, the first thing you will see is the greatest sign. And if you go there, you will see that the dot starts at the beginning. That dot is the beginning of the creation. Then before that, that blue background is just like the universe before creation, infinite consciousness that nothing was present. And then, of course, the universe had the potential to create and be created. That dot is the beginning of the what scientists call Big Bang, and that starts the creation. And then as you see, the creation started spinning as the I Ching sign, and then exploding as the sign of the mission, or the hush sign, or Lodasika. And then, of course, after God created, he came to the being as the manifested universe, there was chaos. That's where in the Bible we read that there was darkness, and God moved, the Spirit of God moved, and created the universe and all that. So the creation was in a chaotic state. So God decided that bring the creation to a more under control and help them to reach, you know, Godhood, back to God. So that is when Bible is the Spirit God moved over the water, and therefore He sent His Spirit into the earth. You can see the triangle downward is the Spirit of God comes to man, to the consciousness, and that triangle downward, you can see the very bottom, then an I-Ching comes. That is the awakening of the spiritual forces. So the Spirit of God, then through the studying the chaos and realize that they have to awaken the spiritual forces by meditation, prayer, contemplation, and whatever helps you to calm your mind. And then after that, they realize that proper environment is necessary to reach to the higher consciousness, and that we call the comings of life. That is the second sign which comes after the I Ching, and that is of course very familiar with everybody. That is the sign of the Hebrew of the Old Testament. And then of course you realize the creator is coming, this sacrifice is necessary. Therefore he realized he has to work very hard and sacrifice for the coming of life. And in that you can see the teaching of Christ for sacrifice, cross for humanity. And then, of course, the fourth one is the surrendering and submission. He realizes he has to surrender and submit himself to the will of God and becoming a channel for him. And that is, of course, Islam. And he also realizes he has to become universalist. and that is the Baha'i teaching, and he became an elect, a sixth seal, and he realized that God is everything and unifies and all of them come from him. Go ahead, Estas.
Thank you, Joseph. Thank you. I get to understand that you believe that Islam and Allah is the only way. Is that true?
Is that the only way. Allah and
No, I saw that. We believe all the religions are equal. They have all come from the same God. We believe Hinduism, Buddhism, Kabbalah, saints in Christianity, and Sufism are the mystical path. They are the path they teach you to awaken your spiritual forces, to know thyself, to know God, be still and know that I am God. And all those things are the mystical path. The next step after awakening your spiritual forces is to direct that toward the creation of the communities. If you read the Old Testament, the whole theme is God wants to choose a people for himself, to accept him as God, to follow his laws, and they were the children of Israel. Such a community cannot be created but through the sacrifice of the members. That was the symbol that Christ put for humanity. Christ went through to cross for his ideal, and therefore, without in any community, everybody says, what is it in for me? What is it in it for me only? That community will not become a community of light, but it becomes very selfish, self-centered, and egoistical, and a separation. It will start between individual, and individual of that community will not be a community of light. Therefore, sacrifice is necessary. But even after sacrifice, you become attached to the result of the action, you become either depressed or become egoistical. Therefore, the next step is surrender the result to God. Even greater than God, that is the submission, or let God come through you. That is the Islam. And with all these 4 3, you're going to become narrow-minded. You might think, oh, I'm going to just help these people. I'm going to just help my religion. I'm going to help my community. I'm going to just help my nation or even Earth. Okay? We can see, so the next step is the universalism. And universalism is Baha'i. So we can see there are mystical paths, discovered all the mystical paths, Hinduism, Buddhism, and all the mystical paths. Old Testament, or Children of Israel, Christianity, Islam, and none of them are greater. Okay, friend, go ahead. You ask your question.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for the invitation, for my friend. The question, who is Jesus? The Jesus, the Christ. And also, in end times, there will be so much false prophets. How do we identify them?
Okay, very good questions. Who was Christ. We don't call him Jesus because there is no J in Hebrew, and really his earthly name was Isa, that most of the Eastern countries use that as his earthly name. His spiritual name, some people say Yahshua, but really through his true name, like the name Yahweh, they call God Yahweh, both of them cannot be pronounced in the manifested world. That's why the Hebrews were forbidden to utter the name of God, because the name of true name of God is within you and cannot be pronounced at all. So I call him Christ, which relates to the same thing that we call Jesus. But Christ came, he was prophesied to come. If you go to the book of Genesis, I think it is verse 49 or 50, when Israel distributing his inheritance to his children, he gave the kingdom to Judah, and he said that the Shalu will come from him and he will gather the people, and Shalu was the Messiah, was the Christ. He came to gather the people of Israel, and if you read those, it explains exactly how they. Also in Genesis, when God gave the promises to Abram, the son of Abram was Ishmael, and the children of Ishmael, of course, are Arabs. And then God changed the name of Abram to Abraham. It means the father of many nations. Abram means father of one nation. Abraham means the father of many nations. And then he promised the son Isaac that he will also have a kingly personality will come from him. So both Ishmael, or the child of Abram, and Isaac, the child of Abraham, were promised a kingly personality or a prophet from God, and that's what exactly happened. Christ came as the Messiah or the prophet from the children of Israel, and actually he was from the tribe of Judah, as he came at the tribe of Judah were supposed to be the kings, and they were all through, you know, Hebrew history. Therefore, he came from the tribe of Judah as the Messiah. He could do that, and Prophet Muhammad came from the Ishmaelites, and he also fulfilled the promises given to Abraham. Christ came with a three mission. First, he came to release the grace that was taken away from humanity at the time of the Garden of Eden. He also came to gather the people together, which were the house of Israel, this northern kingdom who came to the west, and the third was to set an example as the sacrifice for the part of the eternal divine path. About the false prophets, that is true. In this time, how many Maitreya are there? Just imagine how many Maitreya we have out there, you know, they're claiming to be Maitreya. Many also believe that they are Christ, and know they have come in the name of God. But God is very, you know, thorough in whatever he does. When he wants to send a message, he prophesies for a long time before he sends his prophet and his messenger to humanity. And that is why you have to, anybody who claims to be Christ, anybody who claims to be Maitreya, anybody who claims to be from God, tell them, ask them, what prophecies have you fulfilled? Is your word is based on the scriptures and the word of God? If these two requirements is not met, run away. Even if I say something is not based on the word of God, do not believe and accept. Because if it's not the word of God, then I'm a false prophet. But if you read law and study our teachings, you will see that all prophecies are fulfilled and all word is based on God's scriptures. Malcolm, go ahead.
Hi again, Madre. From last week, some of the things you say is quite intriguing. And I'd like to ask you one question, please. Is there anyone on earth who can fully understand the Quran? Well, thank you very much.
Yes, Hakam. The Quran has been written down after Prophet Muhammad was deceased, and he recited it to his disciples, and there were people that learned it by heart, and they rely on those people for a long time, and eventually in a war that they had with Yemen, I think, many of those who could decide these, they were killed, and that is when the leadership of the Muslims realized if they don't gather it together, it might be completely lost. And there was two versions. There were two people who claimed that they gathered that together, and they came two versions of the Quran, and it was a great upheaval on the Muslim communities about which version is correct. Eventually, leaders decided to take one of them as the official Quran. So there has never been in the human last 6,000 years of human history that a prophet who came, received the revelation, wrote it down, put it in a book form, and put it in the internet. Okay, so there is no revelation before this one is completely revealed to humanity the way it is now. Even in Baha'i teaching, although many of them was written down, Baha'u'llah himself instructed his clerk not to publish many of them and threw them in the river because he didn't think humanity ready for them. So you can see that, you know, that even Quran is not completely, you can say, written by Prophet Muhammad, and it's all there. So, but there are parts that you can read, though it has been explained, and if still you have a question, you can read that part of Holiest of the Holies, and if you have a question, come, and you're welcome to ask about them. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Thank you very much, Richard. Okay, if people get two different versions of different, like you said, you said two different Qurans, mm-hmm. Which I only know of one, then it means that there's a difference of opinion somewhere. How can we separate what is opinion and what is that from Allah or from God?
Okay, well, as I said, all the religions before this revelation is culminated or come together or supported each other, or more made each perfect in each successive revelation until this one, okay? And this one, if you read though, and you understand though, you will understand Quran better, okay? I'm not saying you're going to understand everything in Quran, but you will become a better Muslim than ever any Muslim were there. If you read though, you become a better Jew, then, you know, we have Jewish people in the mission, we have Christian in the mission. After they read the though and they understood my teaching, they become even better Christian, the better Jews. Okay, they realize, oh yeah, that is what God said, and that's what God did, and that is what God meant, and that is how it is, and that is how God meant. Eventually all the revelation comes together as the seventh seal, and it will be opened, the book sealed with the seven seals is open, and when that book is open, the mystery of God is sealed. So, see, the God is mystery until the seventh angel comes, until the seventh revelation comes. Now, this seventh revelation here, why do you want to go and read the Quran and try to understand it? Then if you read the though, you will be able to understand Quran in much better, deeper level. So that is true. None of the religions, none of the revelation before this revelation was perfect. They were a part of the greater truth. Even the Quran says that Prophet Muhammad is revealing only a part of the tablet, not the whole thing. So it means there is going to be more to come. All right. So I recommend you read though first and go to Quran again and read it again to see if you understand it much better than before. Okay. And then if still you have any question, a specific part of Quran, I would be glad to, you know, talk to you and discuss it with you and come to a meaning that makes sense to everybody. But understand that none of the scriptures before this one is completely perfect. They have been influenced with the human, you know, thought and opinions. And if you want to know which one is opinion, this is not. Measure it against the holiest of the holies, though, and to see if it's in the holy, then it is not a main opinion. If it is not, it might be opinion. Go ahead, friend.
Just ask questions to let them understand and see their own blindness, so they may search for the light. So, the question is, what is the meaning of Alif Lam Mim?
Okay, now it's two parts. The first part, of course, is that we believe also every person have to go to our teaching to read it, understand it in a deeper level, and come here, discuss it with us, and eventually see the light themselves. There is no compulsion in going to God and accepting a religion. Therefore, you are completely free to go and study. It's free, it's given to the humanity absolutely free on the website. You can have access to those and our teaching, you know, with no obligation. we believe what you said is to be the truth. But those words in Quran, they are part of the holiest name that is not been on earth for at least 2,000 years or 1,400 years, according to you know any religion you are affiliated with. And the holy name is the name of God, a true name of God that I said cannot be pronounced into human language. The moment you do that, you will lose the power and the energy and the truth of it. And that is the part that Mission of Maitreya reveals to those who will come to the mission and they say, yes, you're right, that is true, and we believe in what you say, and you have the word of God, we examined, we tested, we read the law, we understood what you said, we tested your spirit, now we are ready to become a part of this mission and dedicate our life to it and work for it completely. And that is when you will be initiated to that holy name. So that is a part of the name of God that is revealed to humanity. And Muslims have been trying to find and realize what it meant till now. Lou, go ahead.
Yes, in essay on the control of the law itself, you think that man should gain control over the three lower senses by raising his spiritual consciousness to the higher self. How does one, what step
does one have to take,
does one have to take to raise one's consciousness?
The question is about an essay in law that it talks about raising the lower nature to a higher nature. That is not the only time that in law you will see that. Many places in law is related to the awakening of the spirit forces, raising your consciousness from lower nature to higher self. Of course, that teaching goes to the mystical path. All the mystical path say they will recommend you some kind of meditation. Some people meditate and close their eyes. Some people sit on the lotus pole. Some people sit on a chair. Some people, you know, go to the mountain. Some people go to the river or a group to a very peaceful place to meditate. Really means find or worship God on your spirit. As Christ said to the woman on the well, that it will be a day that you will worship God in your spirit and stop going to Jerusalem or worshiping in the mountain. You don't have to do either one. So we can see that the awakening of the sources or raising your lower consciousness to higher self is the process of meditation and awakening of what Indian philosophy called Kundalini. And that Kundalini means the latent spiritual force that they compare it to a serpent. And the serpent is lying down, as Bible also says, be wise as serpent. And that is exactly what it is. It's awakening of your Kundalini to inside. But till now, the mystical path is saying the goal of the life is to awaken those spiritual forces and go to God and become a drop and fall into the ocean and you become one. Any of those, you know, would teach that. But we say, no, after you awaken those spiritual forces, you direct your energy and understanding toward the creation of the communities of life. This is the second seal. And you sacrifice for the communities of life. In sacrificing and being in the community, your spiritual progress will accelerate because there are many people, other people out there helping you out, and you are in the community, you are safe. Your physiological safety needs will be taken care of. Therefore, you have time to meditate and awaken your spiritual forces. And then, by sacrificing, you will not be self-centered. You will become other people-centered. These are all the paths of awakening of spiritual forces. Then you realize it is not really you are doing the work. It is God doing it through you. That is the highest spiritual realization. And you realize you are just a channel to God to do His will, to create the comings of life, to sacrifice, and you are not the doer. That also makes you let God come through. Therefore, you are not that your ego will vanish more and more, and God will be more and more in you, what is happening now with your courses? Become more godly, doesn't it? You know, become this image. You become universalist, the first step is to become a universalist, and then you become universalist, you destroy every narrowness of the mind, you don't look at the people as a religion, as a nationality, as a gender, but you look at them as a child of God. Therefore, the whole universe becomes your home, God becomes your father, and your mother, and all those narrowness of the mind will be destroyed. So the eternal divine path, the first step is having a spiritual process, is meditation, concentration, chanting, dancing, all those things that is given to you, the rest of the following of the eternal divine path. That's why in the mission they say we don't have any dogma. We have a path. Either you follow it or you don't. If you follow it, you raise your spiritual forces, you have a spiritual consciousness, and you know you are following God's way. If you do not follow that path, doesn't matter how much dogma you have, it's not going to help you. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, now, I'm a Muslim, and when you said something earlier on about Islam, I'm obviously very interested, because ultimately, I'm a truth speaker, and to me, all Muslims are truth speakers, because Islam invites truth, or it represents truth. So it invites research, if you like, and that's what I've been doing. So when you said some of the things in the Quran have been tampered with, or it's not from Muhammad, peace be upon him, which bit were you actually referring to? Because if man has interfered with perfection, then shouldn't it be very obvious?
That is the real question you have to find out, Malcolm. Is the Son perfect? Is it the last word of God? Then Prophet Muhammad says, I only am revealing to you a part of the tablets. How can that be perfect? He is the Prophet himself is telling you, I didn't give you everything that God is supposed to give you. Wait, you have to wait for another revelation to come. This is going to be perfect, then you have the perfection. So that is the question you have exactly. If you are a real Muslim, if you are a real Jew, if you are a real Christian, if you are a real Hindu, Buddhist, you are a searcher. If you have been born in a Christian and a Sikh Christian, and you accept what the preacher said, if you are a Jew, you stay a Jew and believe whatever your rabbi said, if you are a Muslim and stay a Muslim and believe whatever your Mullah says, you are not a searcher. Here we are telling everybody, come and search again. Go to our website. Prove for yourself the Spirit of God has seen perfection now. We don't say we have a part of the tablet. We say we have the whole tablet, and it's exactly what God said is going to happen when the seventh angel comes. He only, and only He, will bring all the revelation and perfection to humanity. Before that, there is no perfection. Each of them is a part of a greater truth. Each of them have a part of the elephant, but they do not have the whole elephant until the seventh angel comes. So the dispute here should be, is Islam perfect? And that is not the word of God, because the word of God says it is not. Even if the whole Quran is not tampered with and is the word of God and is the whole revelation that Prophet Muhammad brought, which Prophet Muhammad brought much more than that. He preached for 13 years, almost every day in a masjid. If you preach 13 years, it's going to be a huge book, okay? And it's not going to be just the size of the Quran that we have now. So we can see, you, if you're really a true seeker, then ask this question. Go ahead and search about deeper level. Also read though. Read our website, read our teaching, and then come to the conclusion that, yes, the perfection will come later. Go ahead, Mundar.
Oh, thank you. I've heard it said that Maitreya and his followers are supporters of a new world order. I was wondering, is this the same new world order that George Bush and the Ten Nation Coalition are implementing, or is it the same as the new world order that the Arabs are reinstigating in the old Babylon, or is it something else in completely different from those two.
They are not either Arab or from any government or any present religion on earth. We are a new revelation. It is, if you go and read in our website, you will see all the prophecies are fulfilled, all the things that have to end. The Kali Yoga is finished, the dispensation of Buddha is finished, the time of Prophet Muhammad's dispensation and Bab and Baha'u'llah and all of them are finished. It is the revelation that has been foretold to come for centuries and thousands of years, and the combination of all God's revelation have come to humanity to this point. And we are not connected or affiliated with anything on earth. Our mission is from God, and we are calling the elect to come, to see, to join, and bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. We are not propagating a new order, but we are propagating the God's kingdom on earth. And then the kingdom comes, you know, as in the book of Daniel, the Messiah throne comes and hit the status. The status will be destroyed and will be no more. So the worldly kingdom and the system is not going to work. The only system will bring peace to humanity and the good will to man is the system of God. And that system of God is now on earth. And we are inviting everyone to go to our website, read about it, understand it, but come and ask a question and let us know what it is. And then many people saw what it is, we all can come together and help to bring it about. Go ahead, my friend.
My chair, the Quran says that it's going to take us all the way to Judgment Day. So he says it's going to be the last religion on earth, it's going to take us all the way to Judgment Day. So tell me, what has the Quran missed out? What is there to come which is not already in the Quran? Thank you.
It is the Judgment Day today. We are in it, in this time, in that moment. The tribulation is here, the last revelation has come, the humanity is in Judgment Day. They have been judged, all earth and all nations have been judged, all humanity have been judged. Of course, like everybody else in every religion, probably Muslims have their own idea of what Judgment Day is, but this is the Judgment Day and humanity is judged and will be judged. So, in that sense, Quran was correct. It was in effect, it was viable, it was acceptable to this time, in this period. Now, it is time for judgment, therefore the dispensation is finished. What Quran has not covered, it did not open the seven seals, it did not reveal the eternal divine path, it did not bring the greatest sign, it did not fulfill all the prophecies that have been even for the coming of the last revelation of God. Therefore, we can see that also Islam and Christianity and Judaism and all the other religions are great revelation to humanity. They are still a part of God, which is greater than all of them. So we can see that, you know, with all that, we have to pause and say, okay, then this is the last, last days. This is the time of the judgment. And they already have been judged. And that is why there is so much tribulation and upheaval on earth, because those who have been judged will be receiving their correct judgment. Go ahead, John.
How are we to take account of other things of the seven in Western, when at least in that one instance, of the seven is back to the earth? And secondly, how is that a teaching that is absolutely phenomenal, different from others who are exactly the same thing?
First of all, let's be aware of the false finder. They do not look for the truth, but they want false in what is the truth. Second, what you mentioned in though and our website, it is not talking about all the time. It's talking about only one time that the high priest goes to the inner sanctuary and utters the name of God alone. That is what is referred to. Only once a year, he is the only person who goes inside and utters the name of God. And that is accurate, because it is in the Bible, look at it, and it is in Old Testament, that is the only time he goes to the holiest of the holies. Okay? So that is accurate, it is not inaccurate, therefore you can be assured everything else in the law is accurate and based on the scriptures, and there is no untruth in it. Second, about what is different between what I claim and Meher Baba and Ananda Murthy, Sai Baba and all that, they have not fulfilled the prophecies, they did not open the book sealed with the seventh seal, they did not bring the greatest sign, they did not reveal the eternal divine path, and all of those they have not done. So that sounds like you are more accurate in your assumption than though being accurate about going in the holiest of the holies. You have not really studied the website, you do not know about their teaching, then you say it's the same thing. Absolutely, it is absolutely amazing that you say that our teaching is the same as the message of Meher Baba or anybody else on earth. It has never been on earth such a revelation to humanity. We have never had such a thing for the last 2,000 years. And now you are telling me that they are the same thing? They are not. And accuracy in the law is amazing how accurate it is. And I challenge that assumption that going to the holiest of the holies did not, then he uttered the name of God once a year. And I encourage everyone go to the Bible and find that part that is talked about then. The high priest goes to the inner sanctuary or holy stone, the holies, and utter the word of God only once a year. Go ahead, Drew.
Yes, in part, when you explained St. John, you said that Christ never approved of earthly wine. In the Last Supper, did he use the earthly wine with the bread?
No, he did not. He did not ever approve. Of the wine, it was the same kind of the wine that he gave in the marriage ceremony. It was the blessed water, and they drank of it, and they were blissful and looked drunk, but they really haven't been drinking wine, earthly not wine. The drink, like wine or drinks that many people drink, it has some benefit, but the side effect and the bad part of it is greater than the small benefit it gives to humanity. So the discourage of drinking and we can become drunk, especially if you become addicted actually it gives you a lift. Any drugs, anything that lifts you up artificially, okay, it is using some energy from some part of your body that is supposed to come to you in a very gradual way. But then you stimulate it and it comes suddenly, you feel uplifted, but later you will be dropped and you will feel even worse. That is why you see the people who drink, the next day they have what? They have hangover. Why? Because the body wasn't supposed to, use that much of energy. Okay? And then next day, your body feels, you used all the reserve energy I had, now I have, make the reserve energy back to you. So it is not recommended to stimulate the body artificially, but through meditation, through awakeners to posture, through yoga, through concentration, through being in an environment that is not ungodly, and being in the comings of light, which bring you greater godly energy. That one really wasn't earthly wine, but it's a blessed water. Go ahead, John. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I must have made my question clear to you. I did not say anything about the Kohen entering once a year to face Shemot Torah. I said that on your website it says that he entered once a year and no other times at all. And he entered once a year to make a blood sacrifice inside the Holy Spirit. That is wrong. He entered more than once a year, and never was a blood sacrifice made inside the Holy Spirit. I have to know that he went once a year to say, I'm a Kohen. I'm a direct descendant myself of Aaron HaKohen.
Right.
I do that myself.
So did you, what did you do?
What I do mean to tell you is that never, ever was a blood sacrifice made inside the Holy of Holies by the Kohen or anyone else, as your website says. Your website says that. Now, if it says that, grossly inaccurate, how are we to believe other things that are seen there? How are we to know that they're not equally as wrong?
Okay. Well, you have to send me that part that it says. Is it my word? Is it the disciples' word? Is it what part of the thing? Because the only place that I mentioned that the high priest goes to the Holy of Holies in our website, in my teaching, is that then he goes to utter the name of God once a year. It was nothing about the bloodshed or blood sacrifice. I don't know where you got it from. You can send us email and tell us, you know, where is in the website, or you can come in and say where it is in the website, and I have to know exactly what you're talking about, but it does not make sense at all, because I do not say such a thing as you are saying. And you can send your answer, or where it is, to information or question at maitreya.org. Send it question at maitreya.org, and we will look at it to see what you are talking about. Because that is inaccurate, that is not correct. You are correct. If there is such a thing in our website, it is probably, it is not my word, it's not from me, or, you know, it's incorrect. So, go ahead, friend.
Salon Maitreya, I'm sorry to jump in. It's off of something that I wrote on my part of the website. So it is my mistake. It's not info. I just wanted to clear that up. If they would like to send us the correction, I would be so glad to make that change. I do make mistakes, and so that is my fault. Go ahead.
If you will meet somebody very ignorant and not wise, because he is claiming that he is Jesus or man of God in truth, as you would appreciate those men of God, lest they would have wisdom besides the love and all that is good that comes from the goodness. And for the question's sake, let's assume you saw that man claiming so much things. As I said, he is not wise, and also he is ignorant. What would you tell him? And how would you approach him, please?
Well, I don't know why such a question, but you know, if he's ignorant and he's claiming to be Jesus, you know, I will leave him alone. I wouldn't do anything with him because, you know, he's not from God. And whatever is not from God is not going to manifest. And he is going to be probably, he has a lesson to learn. And no matter what I said, he already thinks he is Christ. And, you know, what can it get in? His cup is full. And the cup is full, what can you put in it? Nothing. It's just gonna come go over it and then nothing gets in. So I leave him in his ignorance, and if he ever eventually changed his mind and he came to me and I said, Maitreya, and I'm sorry, I was ignorant, I didn't know better, you know, and now what can I do and what should I do? You know, and then I'll tell him, go read those, see how the prophecies are fulfilled. You cannot claim to be Christ if you do not have the prophecies and the Word of God and the backing of the Spirit. You will fail. It is nowhere, no prophet will come and claim something that has not backing of God. If he doesn't have the backing of God, it is, you know, it's empty. It's an empty word, empty belief. And if you cannot prove that yourself, what we say here is true, and we have the Word of God, and what we claim is the truth, then it is your problem. It is not ours. Ours is just to give the message. Yours is to prove the message is correct. So I have nothing to do with that ignorant person, and what is claimed here is not from ignorant either. So it is something that you have to prove it yourself, and I have probably like to spend my time for a better thing for those that are ready, those who have been called, and those who are not ignorant to see the truth that has come through this vessel. Go ahead, Lou.
Just has to do with the wine. When each other says, do this in remembrance sort of me, should we use water instead of wine? This is my question.
Okay, you do not have to use either the time of bread and wine, and the eating of the, you know, my flesh is in no longer. Understand the meaning of it though. If you understand the meaning of it, you don't need it anymore. Those rituals in the past, they are all fulfilled. Now is the time for the new ritual of doing the reminder and the kirtan and all the things that mission have given you. But the meaning of the what Christ said, eat of this bread that is my body, drink of this blessed water, this is my blood, it means I am everything. It means God is everything. When you eat the bread, remember God. When you drink, remember God. When you eat, remember God. So you don't have to go to the church, you don't have to go to any places to receive the bread of life or the body of Christ. But whenever you eat, that is God. That is a part of God. It belongs to God. It's a part of God. So all that in your life, everything you do is a remembrance of God. You never forget God. When you move, the movement is God. When you eat, it is God. When you breathe, it is God. So you eat, you breathe, you sleep, you eat, you walk, you talk God. That is the meaning of eat of this. This is my body, and drink of this, and that is my love. So the whole idea behind that ritual is remember God all the time, as Prophet Muhammad also in Quran says, remember me sleeping, walking, talking, always. So if you remember the meaning of that, you know, ritual, you don't need to do ritual. Ritual have a reason behind them. If you understand the reason behind them, you know, then you either do them from the knowledge, or you understand them and you don't need them anymore. All right. If there's no question, for one more time, I will explain the greatest sign to everyone, because everybody should hear this revelation at least once, and at least they know how the religions of the world are unified. If you go to our website, the first page, you come in, you see a sign that it is animated. It is blue in the beginning, and then there is a dot. That's the beginning of the creation, and the creation begins when it becomes the lotusika, or the lotus expands itself to a lotus, and that is the creation. As in the Bible said, there was darkness and confusion, and the Spirit of God moves into the darkness and goes through the eternally one path and becomes the first, becomes the Son of God. So that is when you see the triangle downward creates, appears, and that triangle downward is the Spirit of God. Spirit of God reaches to the darkness and wants to help the humanity to reach to consciousness of Godhood. Actually, that's exactly what the Christians say God came to help as Christ and brought the revelation of the Christ to humanity. And God manifests itself through that darkness and then through the eternal divine path. He allocated his forces, the I Ching very below, when it comes up, you see it's horizontal. That means that the spirit have not been awakened. Then he realizes that the environment is necessary to create greater people and guide them to Godhead. And that is the second seal comes up as the Hebrews sign, or sign of Solomon, or the Star of David. And The third one, to create such a community, he realized sacrifice is necessary. The third seal, and the third seal is the Christianity, which is the symbol of sacrifice. And then he realizes that surrender and submissive is important, and it will free you from egoistical feeling and also depression. So he realized to surrender the result to God. And also he eventually realized the greater than surrendering submission means God does things through you, and you become a vessel for God's will. And also he realizes at this point you can become narrow. You can say no, only you know mystical path is the way. Only all the you know the Old Testament is true, nothing is true. All the New Testament is the only way, and all the Quran all is just surrendering at submission is the last word of God. But God says, no, there's more to it. That's why the universalism comes in the teaching of Baha'i and Baha'u'llah and Baha'u'llah. And that is basically says all the religions are the same. Of course, with this revelation, we see they are not all the same, but each of them have a specific truth in them. Then put them all together, you realize God is the whole truth and sent all these religions. So if you come, go through the first five steps, awakening of the spiritual forces, creation of the communities of life, sacrifice, showing and submitting to God, and becoming universalist, you become a leg. The sixth seal is very similar to the second seal, or the seal of Solomon. Actually, you see there is three seals of Solomon, one in the center, formed in the center, one in the right, and one in the left. One in the center is the kingdom of heaven in heaven, which is already established. God is in the center. The lotus leaf in the center is the symbol for God. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is already established. The kingdom on the right hand is the kingdom of heaven on earth, which is based on the communities of life. The one in the left hand is the kingdom of heaven within you. When you go through the five steps of the eternal divine path, the kingdom of heaven within will be established. And such a people who have the kingdom of heaven within are called the elect in every religion and revelation of God. And these are the people we are calling, we are looking, we are waiting to come, gather together, and help and direct humanity to the next step of human evolution, which is the kingdom of heaven on earth. Therefore, and this unification coming to the seventh seal, is when the I Ching forms the Lotosika. This is in the image of God, as I said in the Bible. Man is in his image. Then the first, the Spirit of God goes through this path. He becomes the first begotten Son of God, and now we can see a triangle upward forms, and the first begotten Son is at the top of that triangle, and that is a triangle upward is the hierarchy in heaven, the sons of God and the children of God. And they will bring the humanity to understanding of the unity of our religion, that God is one, all of our his children. There is no difference between any religions. Each of them have a part of the truth, and they have to all, every man and woman have to follow them on the one path. They have to awaken their spiritual forces. They have to work toward the creation of the commonwealth of God. In order to create the commonwealth of God, they have to sacrifice, they have to surrender and submit to God, and become a universalist. That is the path to salvation to God, and that is the path that every great being have gone through. Therefore, this is our base of our teaching. It reveals the path. It unifies all religions of the world. It is based on God's revelations and the word. It includes the prophecies. It is the opening of the book sealed with the seventh seal. And now it is you. Each of you go, find the truth, prove it yourself, or disprove it, and then come and tell me, you know, if you have proved it, come and let us help and be together and get this mission, you know, spread all over the world. If you disprove it, just disprove it yourself, that's fine. Just keep it yourself and say, okay, I don't believe. That was fine. I'll leave you to God, and you leave us to God. Go ahead, Sandworm.
Just correct me. I'm taking it that you say that you are Jesus, that you are a prophet, and that you're here to unite all people from all religions, and what you're really saying, can you prove it biblically, scripturally? And from what I'm reading in the text, there's another book that you're using called the Thoth. What is that?
I don't have to prove anything. It is you who have to prove it yourself. And if you cannot prove it yourself, that's fine. As I said, you do not believe, and I leave you to God, and you leave us to God, and God will be judged among us. You are not the judge. Human is not the judge. Only God is the judge. So refrain from judgment, because then you are placing yourself in the place of God. And therefore, what is written in the website, what is claimed here, is for you to go to read, to study the prophecy of Ruthie. The seven seals is open, the book sealed with the seven seals is open and revealed to humanity. The way to salvation has revealed, the way to peace and unity is being given, the way to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth is here, and we are in the tribulation, we are in the last days, and therefore you go and prove yourself if you believe. Then you come and say, yes, that makes sense. It is from God. If you did not, then again, it is up to you and God. Go ahead, friend.
Thank you. My dear friend, as I ask, what would you do when you see very clearly a false teacher? You said you would just leave them alone to themselves. My dear friend, it will be according to your answer, but in my heart, that is not. I wish I can be given opportunity to reflect and make him understand his delusion and ask him to repent, to turn to the living God for his salvation. That's what I would do. And I wish I can do that very same thing for you. But also, as I said, it will be according to your answer, my dear brother. May God help.
Apparently it seems that you believe that I am a false prophet and a false teacher, and I need your help. I don't. The only person I need help from is God. Don't try to put yourself in place of God and judge people and try to tell them that you are the person going to save them. You know, you are the false teacher and prophet, that you connect people to yourself instead of taking it to God and telling them you have power to, you know, forgive them, and you are placing yourself in the seat of God, and you are the one you are judging and filthy, okay? So don't come here to our room and in our church and preach on us again and tell us you are the person who can save us. You can't. The only person who can save is God, okay? So, you know, Satan, get away from me, okay? This is satanic and misunderstanding of humanity that you are preaching here. You know, you have no power to forgive. You have no revelation. You have no prophecy fulfilled. No wonder Christ said many of you will come and say, Christ, Christ, I healed in your name, you know, and I prophesied and I said, I know you not, you generation of vipers. Okay? You are not God. But if God can forgive, you can't. I don't need you. Please get out of the way. Okay? Either he, follow and get out of the way. And you are in the way of God. Anybody who sits in the seat of judgment is in the way of God. Okay? You are a false prophet. Stop it. Go ahead, Dialwolf.
I do have a few questions for you, and I am very curious. Could you please tell me who Ornstafis is from the Bible? Let me spell that for you. Ornstafis.
Okay, can you say what part of the Bible it is, and you broke up when you said the name. Can you repeat the name again?
question. Yeah, it's spelled O-N-E-S-I-T-H-O-R-U-S.
The question was, what part of the Bible is it, Dyewolf?
Well, his name is mentioned a few times, actually, in 2 Timothy.
Timothy.
His name is mentioned here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16. You know, if I remember correctly, didn't Jesus Christ know Scripture so well that he was actually teaching it in the temple at age 12 or 13?
Yes, he was, but I don't think he memorized every name in the Bible and proclaimed that he knows every name of in the Bible. Especially, I'm not that interested in Acts anyway. Acts is not the word of Christ, and we believe Acts is the word of the disciples, and I'm not interested in this disciple. If you want to ask me anything from the word of God, is this word in the Bible, in the red, go ahead and ask that. Don't try to trick me to the names that, absolutely have nothing to do with the word of God, and expect me to know even what the disciples said. Okay, if you want to talk to, the word of God, go ahead and let us talk about the word of God. This is in red. I'm not interested in the Acts. Acts is not the word of God. Okay, go ahead, talk.
Definitely. I'll ask it both in text and on voice if you can submit it.
What was that?
Oh, yes. Those who are saying that Jesus, also known to you as himself, is God, and his word is the word of God.
Yeah, well, and God wants to send a revelation. He, as I said, he prophesizes that such a person will come, and that person come and fulfill the prophecies, and when that happens, God's Spirit will come through that person. The Spirit of God is upon him. He is the anointed one. He has the truth. His Spirit comes through him to humanity. And that is why Christ said, me and the Father are one. Means that God's Spirit in that moment and God and Christ was the same. There is no difference. That is the Word of God and come through him. He and the Father are one, and there is no separation and no difference between what he says and what God says. In another time, somebody calls him good rabbi, and he says, I'm no good, only God is good. Therefore, in that time, the Spirit of God is not upon him, so he does not feel he and the Father are one. And that's exactly happens in every religion and every scripture. If you listen, the prophet says the same thing, he and the Father are one. Then Moses comes to the children of Israel and says, oh Israel, listen to me. This is God that's talking to you. Why? How can he be God? Is he God? Yes, in that moment. The Spirit of Moses and God are one. God coming through Moses and giving, those commandments to the children of Israel. And at that moment, Moses and God are one. In other times, Moses are confused and ask God, what am I going to do with your people? It's a separation, you and me. There's that in that moment, Moses is not saying, oh, children of Israel, you're doing this thing, bad thing, okay? That is separation occurs there. Same thing as Prophet Muhammad comes in and the Quran says, listen to Prophet Muhammad, whatever he reveals is my word. And in other time, Prophet Muhammad is just a regular man and says, no, I am not. I'm not Messiah. I'm just a plain messenger. So we can see again in that moment, he and God are not one. So those things that Christ said is in the red, in the Bible, are the word of God. He and the Father were one. There is no separation. There is no difference. They are revealing the same thing as God would have revealed if he had come on earth. But God is a spirit. God cannot come and say, here I am. That he is always with us. And how many people really feel him, know him? They don't. Most of the people don't even know God, and they believe on their religion. They even sit in the chair of God and in the throne of God and become judge of man, you know, instead of being, you know, let God judge between us. And you know, why do you judge me? Let God judge me. That is more important than you judge me. So you can see that, you know, human cannot feel, understand, and become one with the spirit. Therefore, God needs a body, a vessel, to come to humanity. And that in that vessel sits and talks about God, His word, and God's word are the same. In that moment, you can say, He is God. He is one with God. In other moment, He is a man. God, go ahead.
Well, it's kind of a response. And what you were saying is what Invisible was just saying a little bit of ago, that God is never separate from anything manifest or unmanifest, to those that are unmanifest, that are not always aware of His presence. Do you have times when you feel separated from God?
Yes, many times. Many times. And also in your asking and answering your question that God is with everyone all the time, and why you then the question comes, why do we need the scriptures? Why do we need the prophet? It's always with us and everybody is connected to him all the time. Why he should send his words to humanity as a message, as messages by the messengers? And therefore, because we are all connected, therefore we don't need the word of God, because we are God ourselves. Now, that is the problem start. Then the ego also is present in humanity, and that filters God, grace, and spirit. And the ego might feel it's God, but it does not manifest God's quality. God's quality is compassion, mercy, beauty. Forgiveness, you know, gentleness, you know, nonviolence, and all that. And most we can see most of humans do not express the spirit of God, which has all these qualities. Therefore, we can say all to God is with us. We block His grace and beauty and all that through our ego. This is the only thing that separates us from God and self. And that ego is really a subconscious mind which separates us from our non-conscious mind with the conscious mind. And that not subconscious mind is created in this lifetime and many lifetimes that we have lived, and we created this reactionary, you know, set of actions in our life that separate us from God, and we don't know what God's will is. Therefore, you can say, although we are all connected to God, not everybody acts godly, and that is the problem. That is why He sent the words of God to humanity. That's why He sent the scriptures, and that is why we have to read the scriptures, to follow the prophets, to know His word, His will, His plan, and then not only we feel Him, we know He's with us, we act godly. Go ahead, Carl.
Okay, the seventh seal. You have opened. Is open, and that is the final seal. Then what is to happen next, according to?
The next step is to call the elect. The next step is to gather those who have been incarnated, sent by God to come, see the grace, the signs, see the revelation, see the seven seals, come and say, yes, it makes sense. You make sense. Whatever you say makes sense. I have no question about the validity of your claim. The prophecies are fulfilled. The words are based on the word of God. The seven seal is open. The book with the seal with the seven seal is revealed. You have to be the seventh angel which will reveal the whole mystery of God. Therefore, I am here to completely dedicate my life to God and become, you know, a part of this great mission which will eventually bring the kingdom of heaven on earth. So the next step is to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, that the whole humanity become one, and they all feel the pain of every man and woman on earth, and they create an earth, you know, that there is no pain, no violence, no destruction and unity will come to humanity and kingdom of, and God become their chain and his laws become their laws. That's it. And that kingdom will last for a long, long time. And all the warmongers and destructive people and those who sit in the seat of judgment instead of God will no more. Go ahead, Diabolos.
I have one more question. Why exactly? I've never, completely understood this. Why exactly did the Lord send fiery serpents among the people? Why exactly did he do that?
Okay, Diabolos, you have to elaborate a little more. Where did God send the fiery serpent to people?
Okay, I think I understand. You know, with my question before, you don't know the New Testament and you're not too good with the Old Testament. Are you very good with the Bhagavad Gita, the Hindu text?
The Old Testament, not all the Old Testament is from God either, okay? If you want to know what parts are from God, go and read through and it will reveal to you that what part is from God and what part changed. Old Testament has been changed 27 times and revised 27 times. If you want to discuss things, go ahead and discuss. But if you want to, still sit on the seat of judgment, you are in the wrong place, okay? You are a false finder. You are looking to, bring a very little thing in the one part of the very unknown part of the... You even don't go ahead and tell us where you got this. If you're talking about why God punished people, if that is what the law of the karma says. You reap what you sow, okay? They probably needed that serpent to descend among them and be punished, and that is what God through the people who do not follow his law and create karma. And that the karmic things happen, God is just. God never does anything that is not just. But if you want to, quote something from the very obscure places of Bible and never come out and tell us where it is, I am not going to sit here and say I know every part of the Bible, every name and everything. If that shakes your faith and belief, so be it. Okay? If you do not want to see the greater thing that have come and you judge on the base on a very little unscriptural your opinion that it is your prerogative, not mine and not those in the EU. Okay? Therefore, don't come here to find fault. Come here, if you have a valid, complaint or valid thing, go ahead. But that is not valid. That is your opinion that you think you can come here and prove me wrong. You start seeing the prophets are fulfilled, the revelation have come from God, the seven seeds